Welcome to East Meets West, episode 226. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And it is a packed house, quite an event for our 226th episode. Joining us in the studio, I actually came up here myself, is Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. Odocta, fresh off of an episode of TWiT.
And I am toasted.
Yeah, you are with the 12-year-old signature Balvenie.
You can't stop me from drinking straight from the bottle. Uncle Leo gave it to me, and I will not stop.
All right. Well, that's probably the last we'll hear of Odocta. We're also very pleased to be joined by Dick DiBartolo, the maddest writer, the Daily Gizwiz.
Absolutely. I do both those things, and I do them badly. So I'll fit right in.
Yes. Well, that's what the show is about.
Doing right? Badly? Good. Good.
Fitting in.
Fitting in. Okay.
And excellent. Roger, we have another layer to the east and the west part of things this week, you know.
Do we?
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, both of us are on the west coast, Dick and Odocta flying in from the east coast.
And we're both from New York?
We're both better than the west coast.
Well, Dick's from New York City.
I'm from New Jersey.
And you're from
New
Jersey.
Okay, so
Jersey,
Dick is much better than Owen.
Come on. I've got a house and a yard and some space. I'm not stacked up on top of people in a shoebox.
I happen to have a yard also in Manhattan.
In Manhattan?
Yes.
I have extra room.
There. I have running trains in my yard in Manhattan. So
Dick can actually go out and pump his own gas.
I don't do that.
Now, is this
yard...
Well,
they don't let you in New Jersey.
I know, it's the worst.
Is this yard a section of Central Park you've roped off illegally, or is this really attached to your house?
Yes. I fortunately have a 20 by 40 foot backyard. Rather rare from New York City.
I don't think that's legal in New York City, is it? Doesn't that have to be a public park?
They don't know about it.
Can it be a sublet?
It could be if the price is right.
That's a mafia moment right there. It's like, look, we got 20 by 40. It was given to me by my grandfather. It's real to me. It's New York City. What are you going to do?
You're going to leave me alone or you'll be sleeping in that yard permanently.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're very thrilled to have you guys on. Sadly, we don't do topics on this show.
So we have
no idea what we're going to talk about.
I was going to tell you what I thought the future would be. Oh, this is a different
show. That's forecast. Right. Okay. That's a
so there's no topic. So are we finished?
We're done. Thanks everybody for being on.
Great. Thanks for picking up my airfare. That was great.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think that it was just a happenstance that the 2000th Daily Gizwiz happened.
I came out for this.
Yeah.
And Leo said, "Hey, if you're going to be in town for Tom's show, why don't you do the 1200th episode of the Daily Gizwiz?" So I did that too. But this is the main focus.
Right. Right. The 226th episode, which is an Ontario area code. And some sort of pentagonal number. But we've been building up for this for weeks.
Well,
weeks,
the parade
right?
was yesterday.
Right? I said 2000th episode of Daily Gizwiz. I meant 1200.
It seems that way. Yeah. 1200.
You make 1200 seem like 2000.
That's right. We just slow the tape down.
Roger, did you see any movies this weekend? There was a couple out. The Social Network and Let Me In.
I did not see any movies this weekend. I wanted to see Social Networking because everyone kept talking about it. So Catfish, I heard good and bad about it, and I'm still on the fence on whether or not I want to see it because, I mean, it's presented as kind of a documentary, but at the same time like a super shocking documentary. But if you understand what the movie's about, it's a lot less interesting.
Super shocking. So it's like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, but it's factual. I mean, it actually is factual. It isn't made up or anything. But, you know, the stunning conclusion, if you understand, and one of the reviews wrote, like, if you understand the internet at all, the ending is totally non-surprising. I mean, it's just, it's...
Unfriend.
It's pretty obvious, basically, is what I'm saying. Like,
but you haven't even seen this movie. You already know the ending?
Oh, don't spoil it for me.
Say so. I don't want to say. It basically, this guy falls into a relationship with a girl via Facebook, and he goes down to track or goes out to track her down.
You know, so the ending is she's a 70-year-old man.
Yeah,
kind of like
they all end.
It's
like
kind
that.
Of like
it's so hackneyed. Exactly. I'm so tired of that ending.
Yeah.
Their website's really cool. I have no desire to see it, but their website was very innovative.
No desire to see the movie?
Yeah. No catfish for me.
Actually, I wanted to ask you this. You come in contact with a lot of people online. Was there in any case where you've been solicited or you wanted to see someone because they were famous or they had, you know, great information, but they weren't very well known or something, and you were kind of hesitant? It's like, well, this guy seems legit, but
wait,
you know,
they were famous but not very well known?
Well, no. Well, famous for what?
It's a whole different category of fame.
Yeah. Yes. Infamous. No, it's, you know, fame, but on a much smaller scale. You know, big fish, small pond kind of thing.
Yeah, the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the same thing of, like, when people want to meet me or how I was talking about how I was on Twit. There's no real reason for me to be on Twit besides the fact that people that work here like me because I'm not a super tech blogger. I'm not a super personality like that's known everywhere, but people that are up top know me and like me. So that's why I'm here.
You're a social media expert, though.
Something.
That's what Leo said.
That's what Leo said. I'm whatever somebody wants to call me to write a check for. I don't really care about all that. You can call me what you want, but it's very interesting.
I don't think write a check and Twit actually go together.
Not in my experience.
No, me either.
Nobody's CTCing around here? Hmm? I'm out. I thought I was getting a check.
Well, you probably are.
Oh. Okay, I'll say.
That's the exception he makes.
Yes. But Roger, it happens. I see it happening a lot. And perception is everything.
No checks.
See.
No. Told you. No. Pretzels. Boom,
this is your check right here.
There you go.
The 14-year-old scotch. I've already drank my payment in half. But Roger, it happens a lot. I see it happen a lot. And I see it happening a lot more with the Z-list celebrities and the internet. People, you know, putting a value on someone instead of, you know, like people, oh, I'm a fan. I'm like, I'd rather make somebody be my friend. I met a guy yesterday who's a fan of Twit, and he's a fan of mine. When I met him, like, don't ever say you're my fan again. I've met you. We're shaking hands. We could be friends. You're not crazy. But, you know, people look up to you, and they grandize you, and they think, you know, like I said, I've seen you on Twit. You think you know the person. You know, never met him, never shook hands, never looked him in the eye, but people are out there looking up to people.
So why did you borrow $50 the second said, Dick, well, you're my friend.
He's on the show a lot.
Yeah, that's not busy.
That's how you do it.
He said, come on, that's 50. How you do it. I know you.
You said you'd lend me 50. Yeah. Well, you said you'd lend someone 50.
50, yeah. And I'm here to collect. Well, I came from New Jersey for this.
I tell you a short story. Last year at South By, I went around and asked people for a dollar. After 3 days, I made $487.
And where is this address? Because I'm going there.
South By Southwest. Just go and ask people for money.
Oh, okay.
Just, hey, do you have a dollar I can have?
Yeah.
That was your thing, right?
And after I kept getting people wanted to get their friends. So if I said, hey, Tom, give me a dollar, you'd be like, oh, he got me. And I explained why I'm just collecting money. So he'd go to Roger and say, hey, Roger, you got a dollar? Owen needs a dollar. And people were just gathering money for me. Very interesting.
Wow. I wouldn't give you money.
Yeah. Yes, you would. You love
no,
me.
No, I would.
Look, next time I see you, if you don't give me a dollar...
You're drinking scotch. I'm sitting here in my room.
Look, it's not my fault you didn't take the drive up. I want my dollar, Roger, when I see you.
See, this is an example of thinking
Wait a minute,
you
can
know
I
someone.
Give you a bunch
He's
of
not giving anybody
that
a dollar.
What'd you say, Roger?
Can I give you a bunch of coupons that add up to a dollar? Or perhaps free items?
We can do that. I need something of value from you now. You called me out on the internet.
I'm just going to give you coupons. Right?
Yeah, that's good.
He just tried to punk the internet.
There's a coupon for a dollar off Bounty.
I need that. I got through Bounty
saved
like crazy.
A penny earned, and if it's 100 pennies, it's a buck.
There it is. I walk with my head down looking for money.
Do you think I had this thought yesterday when I was considering the Social Network movie because I saw it on Friday night, and just in tangent to that, I thought, you know what, I think social networking has become our new buzzword because we had the .com, but then the .com bust had everybody going, well, what is it now after .com, and Web 2.0 sort of became the next buzzword.
Right.
But Web 2.0 is sort of faded. You don't hear that a lot.
It sounds
a little dated. I feel like social networking has taken up the mantle.
Social media has taken up the mantle.
Social media, social networking. Media.
Social networking is the movie. That's why it's in your brain. But nobody says social networking. They say social media, the social space.
Yeah.
The word social. As a matter of fact, that's what depends that.
Yeah, social.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't it go? What was Microsoft?
Ice cream social? Oh, no.
Oh, yes. What was the thing that the Zune...
The social.
The social.
With a the.
Begins, does it? Yeah. Oh, was it just the social?
Yeah, it was experience the social.
That was it. I'm still waiting for that to happen. I have tickets. I don't know. They didn't give a time or a place.
Right. Well, you have to squirt.
Times, all places.
They remember the Zune was squirt. You could squirt songs to other people.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to do that.
Well, no one. I couldn't find anybody with the Zune. Yeah. I have one with me. Anybody have a Zune? I thought not.
Okay. I used to have a Zune. The new Zune got all crazy, and I gave up, and I went back. Now I'm back with the iPod Touch because it has a camera in it. Apple just keeps getting me. I travel a lot, so when I want to call my daughter, I use FaceTime on my phone, call her on the iPod Touch. I mean, she already learned how to use my iPad, so I gave her an iPod Touch. She is all on it.
So what do you use for a phone, then?
iPhone.
And you have so you have an iPhone and an iPod Touch.
Yeah, I bought an iPod Touch for my daughter. She's three.
Oh, okay.
She's three, and she taught my 93-year-old grandmother how to use my iPad. I've got video of it. She's sitting there like, "Here, Grandma, you know, open up a video, showed her a movie, showed her a book, how to turn the pages." It was incredible. And then so I was like, "Oh well, I'll just buy her an iPod Touch so that I can call her when I'm traveling, and I can actually see her instead of, because a 3-year-old, she doesn't want to talk to me on the phone, but when she sees me, she'll tickle the screen and she's, you know, she thinks I'm there. So that's the world we live in.
If the Zune had a camera, would you prefer it?
Probably not, because now all my stuff's Apple. So once you get into the system, it's hard to get out. Like I still have Windows PCs, desktops, but my iPad, my laptop, my phone, all that stuff just goes together. So it's hard to get out of the system now.
You've bought into the Apple elixir.
I bought into things that work well with each other without me having to do anything or buy anything extra. I mean, the iPod Touch calls the iPhone. What else do I need to do? That's it.
I think the social networking is, or social media, whatever socialing you're doing, has caught on because everybody likes to do it. This is one of the few things. Back in the dot-com era, getting people to get online and do something was hard. A lot of my relatives and friends back home would use the internet very practically, but they wouldn't just surf around a whole lot. And Web 2.0 was still a little bit distant. But Facebook and Twitter, everybody's doing that.
I think it's because the response on those is so much more immediate, right? When you're on Facebook, you can connect with friends and family, and there's that immediacy, that there's a tangible product for your efforts of setting up a site or setting up a Twitter. You know, like the first time you get a tweet back, you know, the first time you set up a Twitter account, you tweeted something and someone either retweets it or replies back to you. You get all excited and giddy because someone's like, you know, hey, someone cares enough to actually, you know, expend the calories to type, you know, a response like, hey, that's good. Or, hello, Tom. Well, you know, there's, you know, once you know that you're having an effect versus just say a blog, yeah, you can count the number of people, and sure, you might get a couple of responses through a talkback or commenting system, but I think there's just something very basic to a social organism like a person, where being connected with someone else and then getting that feedback is so seductive.
You hit it right on the head, because it's all about the immediacy and the ego that goes on with it. I mean, back in the day, they did a study, and the same amount of dopamine was released when you heard, "You've got mail," as you did when you had an orgasm. Like the euphoric mindset of you being happy, of you
got remember
mail.
That.
If only that were true.
If that were true, AOL would still be doing really, really good.
You know why it's true? Because people do studies on everything and they say stuff. And I've read it before. So I'm telling you, it's true. Because somebody said it. It's on the internet. But anyway.
You read it on AOL.
The point of people being happy when they see that they've got mail, the point of people being happy when somebody at replies them or retweets them, they feel validated. And the social space validates people that have never been validated. There are people sitting home in their basements right now happy that 20 people retweeted them, and they're like, wow, I'm special. You know, they say things to their friends all the time. They're not the funniest friend in the group. They're not the best-looking friend in the group. But in their social space, sometimes they're witty. You know, sometimes they're funny. The people are listening. Look, you know, validation and the speed.
So they validate parking.
Yes, please.
They could. That would be awesome. Validate me as well as my parking space so I don't get a ticket.
It's the reward center being stimulated, right?
Yeah. The thing is, what is going to replace Facebook, if anything? Like, look at how far down MySpace has got.
Right. And Friendster and Orkut.
Yes, exactly.
Something's got to replace Facebook at some point. I mean, this is what you just said. MySpace, you thought, if you didn't have a MySpace page, people laughed at you. Now you got a MySpace page, people laugh at you. I mean...
It's a win-win situation to me.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing better?
It's got to happen to Facebook at some point, you would imagine.
I think Facebook is more in the same vein as AOL. Maybe not in the orgasm area, but
you never know.
You never know. Yeah.
But you don't. Well, yeah, actually, yeah. they're yeah. prob- That's a whole different topic.
I'm going to call each one of you and play You Got Mail and watch how excited you guys get. I'm calling.
Oh, I got mail.
Right, you're like, oh, I got mail.
But I think Facebook has become a platform that people see as their way of experiencing the internet in a way that MySpace only did for a small section of people, and Friendster just very briefly did.
The one thing that I feel about is MySpace made stars out of people instead of just connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people from MySpace were on Maxims, the rock stars, the groupie girls. There's just people that were just, they're icons in that little ecosystem. Facebook has always been about, hey, people you're capped at a limit. You know, even people that max out that limit is still a connection with someone, as opposed to, I don't really even care about this person. You know, they get into an interview or on a show because they have a million followers, but those people really don't care about them. You know, Facebook, you're kind of caught up in the ecosystem of, at least they're people I know somewhat, or I accept you because you know three of my friends. You know, so that's why I brought you on board.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps it more valued for a person-to-person experience.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other parallels besides having an orgasm where, you know, that.
Are you still? You want to call AOL while we just hang on and see what happens?
Is there any other thing? Is it like buying a car? Do people get like, oh, it's a brand new car, they just bought it? Do they have that same, you know, reaction?
It's just a lot more expensive. It's almost nothing to go onto Facebook and make a friend or start a page or do something like that, right?
And once you start collecting friends, it's kind of like Pokemon, right? You just got to keep collecting them. Your little pocket friends.
Got to catch them all.
Well, I think so. It's a game.
Well, I just broke 5,000 a day, and I feel so much better about myself.
Broke 5,000 on
Twitter.
On Twitter.
I feel so much better about myself.
I was going to say, there's 5,000 max on Facebook, right? Yeah. You can't break 5,000 on Facebook. Yeah. Other than unless you have
a fan page.
Oh, that's interesting.
You can have as many as you want on a fan page, but on a personal account, you can only friend 5,000 people.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
that might be good in a way.
Well, yeah, you can't. How can you really know?
Well, that's the thing. You can't really know 5,000 people, but it keeps people connected. That's what I mean. It keeps it in a circle of, at least if you're on here, I should know you because of something, you'd hope, as opposed to, well, you guys are known for things, so people want to be your friend. But in general, you know, people know you, you know? So.
Well, I like Twitter because it's so easy to do. You know that you're in for just 140 characters.
There's not a burden.
No, there is a burden is that I feel I must use all 140 characters.
You don't want to waste
them. So I type a thing and it's 138 characters, and I go, what word can I make into a slightly bigger word?
Should I just put an ellipsis?
Yes, exactly. Maybe a dash. Where is this? You know,
I believe that's called a twoosh.
Oh, a twoosh.
When you fill, that's is that
good.
Right?
Yeah, you have to say that, otherwise Nike would sue you if you called it something else.
Right, right. Just tweet it. Is there a recycling program that could be made for those unused characters?
I would like to have a bank.
Kind of like an unused minutes, like a rollover.
Yeah, rollover. Rollover Twitter character generator saver thing.
You could generate more than the 140 characters. You could just keep allotting more for everyone you did use in the previous week.
Like here in Petaluma, I had more things to say, but I had to send out multiple tweets. And sometimes if I see someone send out four tweets in a row, it's sort of like, this is getting annoying.
How many people are you following, though? That you'll notice that
400 and something.
Yeah, you'll notice that at 400. You know, I'm only following 600. So some people, you're like, man, they're tweeting a lot. But like Robert was saying, you know, he's following 20,000 people. I could tweet 30 things in a row. He'll never see them back to back to back because of the.
Oh, but he'll also never see every posting.
No.
That's sent. So it's a different way of consuming.
I've written a best selling novel on Twitter and nobody knows about it because it just goes by their face and nobody's reading my stuff.
Well, if it's best selling, how does no one know about it?
Because it's on Twitter.
Wait, how do you sell it?
Don't
on
talk
Twitter.
To me like that. I'm just making stuff up right now. You can't ask that many questions.
Stop analyzing my words.
Yes, especially when they're fictitious statements, okay?
Well, have you ever been in a kind of a moment where you're wondering if being so well-known is not such a favorable thing? You know, I mean, Patrick Norton has a bunch of stories where he's always been, you know, kind of not discovered, but people like recognize him, and he's in, you know, like he might be in the restroom or he might be in an awkward situation, like pumping gas or something. I've had it.
In the stall. Are you Patrick Norton?
I've you know, had it like I'm in the supermarket buying like, you know, tomatoes or something. Someone's like, hey, yours, like Roger Chang. It's like, hey, what's up?
I think probably most people don't have that problem that you have, Roger.
Yeah, no. Fortunately, no. Being a writer, people don't know my face. So the only time I really get a reaction is if I have a need to give someone a mad card. And then they'll go, wait, I do know you.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's not been a detriment yet.
I'm a local celebrity, and it doesn't bother me. I'm bigger than most people, so I don't have any fear of people wanting to come up and say hi to me. I met a fan yesterday, and I called him Xerxes. He was 6'7". And it was funny because I told him, I said, normally people ask me, hey, you're in my city, you want to come out for lunch? I said, no problem. I'm bigger than them. I could take them. I'm not worried about it.
But not Xerxes.
He got out of this Lexus, and I'm like, can't take him. You better be cool. Cool.
Well, there's a difference between being known on the internet and being famous. And I think that, Roger, in all seriousness, what you're talking about, which is, where is that line where you become Jennifer Aniston and you can't
chase down the street,
leave your house and there's paparazzi? You know, versus just like, being in the supermarket, somebody comes up and is like, oh, I watch your podcast, and it's sort of flattering. It's like, thanks. Yeah, you know, that's really nice. Absolutely.
I interrupted Roger's lunch yesterday, the other day, and Patrick was like, and I met Patrick once, and I was like, hey, Patrick, and he's like, and I'm like, oh, we met at the thing, Eagles fan. He's like, oh, Eagles guy, yeah, okay. But, you know, I walk up and I'm towering down looking at him as he's sitting at his table, and it's like, well, I know Roger, too. I'm not just interrupting.
Roger's just like, some creepy guy that just popped out of nowhere.
Roger didn't help me for nothing.
I don't know.
I just said, hey, what's up? That's what I always say.
Like, hey, guy, you stalker person.
But I think
I'm wondering if the fame, or at least the kind of the celebrity aspect of a lot of social networking would be different if what Dick was saying, like, because he's an author, people don't immediately recognize him because there's no picture of him, or they know him by his word or by his name, but less by his appearance. If there were no images, if there were no photos or anything, but you knew people based solely on what they've written, would it be, you know, dramatically or just slightly less different? You know, would you have the same kind of appeal? Would you have the same kind of recognition? Because oftentimes authors might have a huge following, but you know, they don't, you know, if they see him in person, it's like, who's that?
Didn't you see Misery?
Yes.
Well, it happens sometimes.
In a movie.
Hey.
That's all? That's all you got?
Hey?
I think there's an interesting kind of fame developing with the internet between people who follow each other on Twitter, follow each other on Facebook, that kind of stuff, that I experience from the listener angle. So if we're out maybe at a meetup or something, and somebody comes up, it usually happens if it's the first time I'm in a town, and they're like, hey, I'm Bob. And I'm like, nice to meet you, Bob. Thanks for coming out. And he's like, well, I'm actually Bob. I remember you now.
Brother Bob.
Okay, right. No, or he's like, I'm Dr. Incredible in the chat room. And I'm like, and then suddenly they're famous to me.
Yes,
because it's somebody I've seen, you know, like Ken from Chicago or Knox Harrington or some of these folks that are in here right now, where I'm like, wow, I feel like I know you from watching what you say, or they are a regular emailer or voicemailer or something like that. And it's that same thing in reverse, where you're like, well, I kind of feel like I know this person, but I don't really.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing about this is like really a tiny industry, in as much as like Leo goes back to a college reunion, and he said most people there have no idea what he does.
Exactly.
And when he tells them what he does, they have still no idea of what he does, you know?
Yeah.
But if Leo goes to CES or goes to a meetup, you know, he's just absolutely mauled.
And I've definitely...
He pays a lot of people to make sure he is mauled, and I'm one of them, but that's like a little secret.
Well, you're actually a wrangler, right?
I am. I go out and I
you've
go,
been promoted.
You see that man? You see that man run up and say, Leo, 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 and then here's $5 and leave.
Right, right. It's same way they fill the audience for TV talk shows.
Yes, exactly.
I was just trying not to be typecasted as the guy with no shirt on making fun of a guy with no shirt on. Like, that happens too. Like, people call up to me and they're like, oh,
they know you from one thing.
Yeah, they're like, you're the Old Spice guy. And I'm like, I'm actually a Dove guy. They don't pay me to say that either, but I just use it. So, but it's funny, like, when people call me the Old Spice guy, and I'm like, I wish I looked like Isaiah. Like, I'm not the Old Spice guy. I'm a doctor. And that's why I actually put my name in the title with the video so that people would actually get to know me. And
yeah, people don't read, though.
They don't. And then my favorite part is they're like, why don't you do more of those videos? I'm like, because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be Jaleel White. I don't want to be Urkel.
Why don't you do
for the
more
rest of my life?
Making fun of that one meme.
Yes.
It's not even popular anymore.
Because that's smart. You know, so it's very interesting, this whole internet fame celebrity stuff.
I've also been really excited to meet people that I've gotten to know over the internet, maybe playing Warcraft or on Twitter, and then you meet the first time in person, and you actually do know each other because you've been communicating back and forth.
Absolutely. You know, people on Twitter, you really know quite a bit about them. Oh, they write those tiny little sentences.
Exactly. Twice a month, I tweet out my phone number, and I say, call me. Like, if I'm driving on a long drive, 8-hour drive, I say, call me. I have a minimum of 5 people to call. I've had people call from Australia, Lebanon. And, like, these people are telling me, oh, I started following you from this or that. And then they ask me questions. I'm like, oh, what do you do? And all of them have been just great, nice people. And some of them I've seen in my stream. And I'm like, oh, I remember you from this or that. And it's funny how you get that connection from the repeating.
I do the exact same thing.
I'll call you.
Yeah. I tweet his phone number twice a month.
It's a good way to connect with people. Other
right.
than the
why he needs rollover
minutes. Excuse me for actually liking to meet people and talk to them in person somewhat instead of just on the internet. Like Roger. Roger never answers my calls.
Well, you never call me.
Look, Roger, you gave me a fake number. I know what you're doing.
I didn't give you my number. I think that's part of it.
I just like messing with
it. It's my favorite. I don't know. It's weird because... many instances, I mean, Tom knows this. I'm not misanthropic, but I don't like, I just don't like most
He's
people.
He's not miss anything.
Right. I don't even know what that means.
Misanthropic 2010.
2010. Here in Petaluma.
Hey, that's actually a great handle. I might take that. But, you know, it's easy for me to meet people one-on-one, but when I'm in a situation, say like CES or something, when we're shooting, and then people see Patrick, they see Veronica, and they see me, they all start kind of coalescing around. Then it gets difficult. Then you're trying to answer or talk to like 5-6 different people at a time, and it's difficult. And it's some, in some cases, it can kind of make you want to just kind of retreat back, where you're just like, oh, I don't want to deal with it right now. Kind of thing. But that's just me.
I could just put on an angry black man face and people would get scared.
I don't think you could ever look angry.
Trust me.
No, I mean...
I love it.
Do you have fake eyebrows that you kind of glue to your brow?
I can't do it right now because I'm in a positive situation, but trust me. I can make
punch
you clench
him.
Up your purse and
Dick,
cross
Tom,
the street.
Punch him. Get him angry like
I'm
the
not going to punch
oh,
a
yeah,
doctor.
Right. The man who's how many miles away?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm 70 miles south of you right now.
I'm leveraging the fact that I'm not very close to him.
Shaking the hornet's nest.
All right, well, we did get some good responses to last week's show because we got all political. But most people responded to the part of the conversation about television shows. Will, for instance, posted on SubBrilliant.com/EMW, if I were remaking an old show, I know I would A, change one of the male characters to a female character, and B, have Grace Park play her. That sounds pretty solid, right? Really, none of the new shows look really all that interesting compared to The Walking Dead.
Okay.
That is going to be cool. That is, I'm reading through the book right now, and it's very compelling. I like it. It's definitely has something in it.
Do y'all know The Walking Dead?
Yeah. No,
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
It's a comic book series about. It starts with a sheriff in a small town gets shot in an arrest situation, wakes up in a hospital, no one's around. He's come out of a coma, and. He finds out that essentially there's been a zombie invasion while he was out.
Oh, okay.
And everyone's gone.
Right.
So he jumps in the car and drives to Atlanta to try to find his family because he finds one person who says, well, the government said everyone should go to the big cities to organize. And then it kind of goes on from there. And it's a very well done story in that it gets hopeful, and then everything falls apart and horrible things happen. But then it gets
not unlike this program.
It gets hopeful and hopeful, and you think it's going to make sense, and then everything falls apart. No, I'm sorry. I'm describing this program.
Right. Okay.
But no, it's great at stringing you along in a way where you really think it is going to get better finally. Right. And then they're turning that into a television show on AMC.
And I think one of the really, compelling aspects of it, and this is what kind of BSG did, was examine the human condition. Yeah, there's zombies, but that's really just the vehicle for how this group of people interact with each other in such a high stress environment where you know, loved ones have died and you have an unorthodox living arrangement with all these people that you hardly know, but you depend on to defend you and defend your loved one's life because there are so few of you and you're constantly surrounded and harassed by zombies.
The zombie meme is so impressive to me because it's a new take on all the Dracula, old folklore, werewolf. It's like one of the newer things. It's not that old, but people relate to it and are drawn to it on a massive scale of the whole humans eating humans. They're almost human, but they're not. You know, they see themselves as us. And, you know, there's a lot of deep thought you can think about when you think about zombies and people that are into them. You know, it's very interesting. So I can't wait to see that show. The comic book is awesome. It should be great. The way everybody describes it and the care they're taking of it, you know, they're going to give you a little bit more twists and turns than the book because they don't want to be exactly the same for the readers. But even the way people look, I mean, like, sometimes you look at people and they're like, man, these people are typecasted horribly. You're looking at them like, this is straight out of the book. They did a fantastic job, and I hope it's great. It should be great.
Well, AMC's been doing some good stuff.
Yeah, AMC is amazing HBO level.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know where that came from. I didn't know that until like last year. Someone was like, "Oh, I'm like, I'm not looking at that." And then they showed me like two or three shows. I'm like, "Wow, like what is going on over here?"
Yeah, Mad Men sort of broke through for everyone. That's what they've got several other shows that they do that I haven't checked out, but are apparently very good as well. The other one that's really good on there is Breaking Bad. AMC. Yeah, that one also has garnered a lot of attention.
Mad Men and Breaking Bad were the two someone showed me that I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Make me look.
They have some other mystery kind of post-apocalyptic show that I have not checked out, Rubicon. And I'm probably describing it wrong because I've never checked it out. But that is supposed to be excellent as well. I'm looking forward to Game of Thrones on HBO, which is George R.R. Martin's series put together because of the same thing that you're talking about, O Doctor, where the casting just looks dead on. If you've read the book, it just looks like people walked right out of the book on screen.
That's the thing of getting a feeling, like how he was saying you feel like you know people when you read something and then you see it visualized, and if it feels the way you thought it was or it looks the way you were used to, that draws you in automatically because you feel comfortable with it. You know, I already know this is going to feel right at least. If you start watching it and stuff's wrong, that's different. But I'm just going to give it a try because of the way it makes me feel. Like, oh, wow, it'd be great to see this person lived out in real life, you know? So, awesome.
Do you watch much television, Dick?
I watch. I live in the past. I spend endless hours on Turner Classic Movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had to buy the newest Western Digital My DVR box because it's now a terabyte. And I need that much. And I'm recording black and white movies that aren't even in HD. And I'm filling those things up. You know, I just love old movies. I watch a few of the newest things, looking for stuff for Mad.
So, Dick, do you watch a lot of old programs besides movies, like television shows or television shows, basically? Right. Television. Well, are there scenes, are there things in movies that you think happen one way, but when you actually go back to watch it, it actually happened a completely different way?
Yes. Especially if it was a movie I saw when I was a kid. I had not seen Gone with the Wind since I was a kid.
I love that
and
movie.
I thought it was 3 hours of Atlanta burning.
That's what was stuck in your head.
Yes. And they're talking. Another hour, they're talking. When will they burn down Atlanta? And, I mean, it's maybe a 20-minute long segment, but it was not Well, yeah, I remembered it.
It was the only part that caught your interest, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
I just rewatched Tron. I had that same experience. I'm like...
The Atlanta birding?
No, but I just didn't know what was going on.
Like, that takes forever to come in that movie.
I thought Tron was something totally different. Like, all I remember is End of Line. And I'm like, okay, End of Line. And the machine does something.
Light cycles.
Yeah, transforming and stuff. And then you watch and like, wow, this is not anything like I remember it at all in my mind. Because I haven't seen it for 15 years.
By the way, you and Ken from Chicago in the chat room are just like sharing a brain. Because as you were saying that, he's like, kind of like Tron, the movie is actually different from what we remember when we were kids.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Roger? What do you have that recollection?
Yeah, there were a bunch of lines to... I'm trying to remember the sci-fi series that I used to watch a lot of as a kid. And when I went back, you know, I was trying to... Oh, I remember that line, you know, and you're trying to find it because I Netflixed out the DVD box set. I think it was Blue Thunder. Yeah, it was Blue Thunder. And I was like, oh, I remember the scene. I couldn't find it for the life of me. And so I do the exhaustive, you know, Google search, and I find out it's from a different cop show. You know, where you insert one scene from a different show into another series because it's cops, you know, they're shooting at bad guys and bad guys shoot back. Yeah. And it's, you know, things blur. And it's interesting because I remember a panel that not Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart gave at last year's Dragon Con. And he was commenting, like, you know, please forgive me when I talk about these old episodes and I get things incorrect, or I might blend, you know, one episode with another. It's not because, you know, I'm getting senile. It's just because I've done so many of them over the years that after a while, there's just a mass of, you know, there's this huge jumble of things that, you know, you don't really clearly delineate one from another.
And he only did them once. Right, he didn't watch them over and over like the people in the audience. Yeah.
I don't know. And he's, you know, sometimes, you know, he had this great story. He was shooting for a movie and he had to go on location and he got there early. So he stayed the night before in a hotel waiting, you know, for the next day's shoot. So to kind of pass the time, because it was a small town, there wasn't much to do. He just was watching TV and he ordered room service. And while I was watching TV, he was flipping the channels, couldn't find anything. He settled on a syndicated run of The Next Generation. And right at that moment, his character is given a speech on screen and there's a door knock, opens up and it's room service. He says, I cannot tell you what was going through that bellhop's mind as he sees Patrick Stewart sitting in a hotel room by himself ordering, you know, room service, watching Star Trek The Next Generation, you know, his character on screen. And it's, I think it's, that's funny things like that, that you don't really appreciate, but like how people perceive you, especially because, you know, what your persona is to, you know, people, your audience might be different or slightly different than how you are in, you know, your everyday life. I mean, oh, doctor, are you just like you are on camera, on your podcast, when you're like shopping at Target or picking up, you know, this evening's dinner or something like that?
I'm the exact same person all the time, every time. And it's kind of weird because people don't expect me to be that way, but I'm always like this.
Yeah.
I'm an honest person. Like, I tell people, like, my dad passed away almost a year ago next month. I cry every day for 5 minutes a day. I was listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire on the way up here. I teared up. You know, and I'll tell people that, you know, because I'll go goof and shoot the breeze and make jokes and fun. I'm always me, and it's easier to be that way. I mean, my persona is me, and people like me, so I just put it on the internet, you know.
Yeah. See, now I'm totally different. Else. Off camera and out of the office, I'm a 48-year-old woman with three kids. Yeah,
it's very.
But I'm perceived as a writer.
Very nice gal. Right. Very nice.
It's
gal.
Just an on-camera person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Persona.
A persona. That's right.
I am like Odakta, exactly the same way. If I'm in the grocery store and I'm shopping, I introduce the zucchini. I give it a chance to plug where I don't shop with you anymore.
A zucchini plug doesn't sound so great.
This is a nice zucchini right here. I'm telling you. Look.
Hey.
Comes from a good family.
Pumpkins, thanks for being with us. We're
a good orchard.
All right, which reminds me, actually, that's the end of the show. Thank you guys for being on.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
I never had 4 hours go by so fast in my life.
We make 30 minutes seem like 4 hours. Wow. That's one of the
it's amazing. One of
the things we've worked so hard on this show.
It's actually, believe it or not, we're working on a theory of relativity where we can actually stretch time from a few minutes. So yeah. one minute can literally equal them out.
Quit now. You've done it.
I believe in Roger.
You can't stretch it out any more than this, trust me.
Please. Oh, Doctor, let the folks know where they can find you on the internet.
OJJS.me is the easiest thing because people can't spell O-Doctor. So OJJS.me.
OJJS.me.
Me. That's me.
There you go. Dick DiBartolo.
The website is gizwiz.biz, GIZWIZ.BIZ. And there you can play the What the Heck Is It game. There's actually a gizmo there. You can either identify it or make up a stupid, silly answer to what it might be. And every 2 months, I give away 36 copies of Mad Magazine. And that's the cover. That's the issue you're playing for.
Ooh,
now.
Glee. I got to get that issue.
Stupid Guide to World of
Warcraft. I left one here for you, Roger. I'll mail it out. I'll
have
to mail you one.
That's a collector's edition. That's a collector's edition.
I love Glee.
And the Daily Gizwiz with that person who sits at the desk.
Leo Laporte.
Can we find you?
Well, you can find me right here at twit.tv.
Oh, you do something else here?
Yeah.
What? You have that show, Dynamite.
I clean up, you know, take the trash out whenever I bring my dog in. Okay. Stuff
lock
like that.
The door.
lock the door behind me. Thank you guys for being on. It was really
thank you. It was fun.
Thanks, it was awesome.
Thanks for sticking
Roger,
around.
Take care.
Checks in the mail, right, Dick?
Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
You guys are sending checks to each other. That's really nice.
Hey, the only way it's going to happen.
He's the one with the money. He's got a yard in Manhattan. I know he's rolling.
I'm a renter.
Now it's a runner.
Manhattan-grown tomatoes.
Now it's a runner.
Hey, and a big thanks to my wife, Eileen Rivera, who switched the video for this show.
That's right. And she just learned this 10 minutes ago.
Let's hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that it recorded.
So. You made me look good.
Oh, you know what? The record button's not down.
We can fix it in post.
Yeah. Not a problem. You know what? Just take five of our words and loop it. It'll be the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Thanks to Leo for letting us do this show every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to you guys for posting. Big thanks to Laszlo and Joey and Bacon Fork and Matt97 and Will for posting at sabrilliant.com/EMW. And we will see you next week.
I'll be here. Oh, sorry.